Good morning. Is this not a beautiful Sunday? Amen. Great weather, and it's wonderful to be together in worship. And if you're visiting with us, a very special welcome to you. I encourage all of you to register your attendance on the pads that are provided for you. Want to remind you today, after this service at 9:40, we'll be dedicating the columbarium at 9:40 outside, and the doors are to your left at the sanctuary. Chase Green has a couple of announcements for you this morning.
I know y'all have been anticipating greatly to be a part of our classes that will be happening this fall, and so obviously those are printed in your bulletin, but I just want to briefly go over those for you. Tuesday evening, the only class that will be beginning at 5:30 and go to 7 is our beginner guitar class, which is taught by Scott Odina, and then it'll be in the Emmanuel classroom. Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock, there will be teaching on the Psalms by our Reverend Mary that will be in the Robert Moore class. On Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock, there will be a class on photography, beginning photography. It's really exciting. Kenneth Westerman is going to teach, and that will be in the Emmanuel classroom. And then I will be teaching on 1 Corinthians at 6 o'clock in the Robert Moore classroom. I just wanted to share those with you and hope that you come with be a part of that this fall. And I want to remind you that following the columbarium service, at 10 o'clock or just right there shortly after the columbarium, we'll meet in here in the sanctuary for our apartment outreach training. It will only last about 10 to 15 minutes, but I hope that you will come and get some advice on how we can reach out to the apartments that we'll be doing on September 28th. Thank you very much.
And last but not least, this afternoon at 2 o'clock is the Central District Conference. There's information in your bulletin about that. And our stewardship moment will be done at a later time in the month. Let's take a moment and greet and welcome one another. Stand, will you join with me in the call to worship? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. My meditation of Him shall be sweet, for I will rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Oh,
affirmation of faith this morning is number 880, the Nicene Creed. You'll also find it printed in your bulletin. Let us affirm our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite our friends, the children, to come down and share with us in front of the curtain, the puppet stage.
Get your hot dogs red hot dogs. You know, I don't get it. Thousands of people are here. I've been standing out here selling hot dogs all day, and I can't sell any. What is up with this? I thought I'd be busier than a publication, like a CPA at this time. Hey, boy over there.
Me?
Yeah. Hey, what's going on out here? Why isn't anybody hungry?
Well, they just had lunch.
Lunch? Where'd they get their lunch? What did they find to eat way out here?
Fish sandwiches.
Fish sandwiches? I thought I was the only food saleswoman out here. Where did all these people buy these sandwiches?
They didn't have to buy them. The bread and fish were free. These people shared the lunch my mom packed for me.
What'd your mom pack for you? A whale on a 7-ton bun?
No, just 2 little fish and 5 loaves of barley bread.
You're telling me that 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish fed all these people? There must have been 3,000-4,000 people.
5,000 men plus women and children. The guys with Jesus, they counted them.
Jesus, is he that guy everyone came to see, right? The star of the show? So what's he doing with your lunch?
Well, when he finished teaching, he noticed that people were hungry. I was the only one who brought lunch, I guess.
I was counting all these people for getting food. That's why I'm standing here with all these hot dogs.
Well, Jesus told his disciples to find something for the crowd to eat. One of the disciples, Andrew, found out I had 2 little fish and 5 little loaves of bread. Andrew took me right up to Jesus.
You actually went right up to him?
Yes, I met Jesus. We talked for a few minutes. He prayed, and then his disciples told everyone to sit down. Jesus started breaking up the fish and bread pieces. He just kept breaking and breaking and breaking. Then the disciples passed around the pieces, and the whole crowd had plenty to eat.
But how could that work? There's no way that could have worked.
Yeah, yes. It was a miracle. Everybody ate all they wanted, and there were still 12 baskets of food left over.
So what am I supposed to do with all these hot dogs? They'll never last until I get back to town. They're all going to spoil.
I don't know. Nobody will want to eat them. Maybe somebody else can do something with them.
Like what? It's not like you can't use hot dogs for... I've got a great idea. I'm going to go give them to Amy Bennett for the youth. See you later.
Oh, you're welcome, hot dog lady. Bye-bye. Hey, kids, let's bow our head and pray. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for taking care of our hungry tummies. We love you. Amen. Bye.
go to God in prayer. Loving God, we thank you for this beautiful day, for this beautiful Sunday, and what a privilege and a joy it is to come together and worship you. Help us to remember that life is not about us, it's about glorifying you. This morning, the Bible tells us not to worry about anything, to pray and tell you what we need. We bring you our needs, the small troubles we have and the mighty burdens that weigh us down, and we lay them at your feet, marveling that you want to help bear them. And we offer you our thanksgiving for all that you've blessed us with. And Father, we're humbled that we can come to you as a child to a parent, and you hear us and comfort us. Thank you, dear God, for your wisdom and love. Help us see your Spirit at work, where people have learned to love in spite of obstacles, where kindness is done in secret without the expectation of reward, and where people who have the power to exact revenge choose instead to offer forgiveness and pursue reconciliation. As we remember so many of the ways in which we are blessed, we are also aware of the ways in which we and others still suffer. We're concerned about the condition of the world. It's a broken place, polluted and filled with violence and injustice and fear and famine and sorrow and sickness. We pray for those who live where hatred is flourishing and fueled by political and religious differences. We're reminded that Saul the persecutor became Paul the apostle. So this morning we pray that hearts would be changed through an encounter with you. And we pray for those whose lives have been devastated by disasters, whose patience is wearing thin as they wait for relief. And we pray for those called to leadership and those who bear the responsibility to see that those in need are helped. We pray, too, for those who work in dangerous and unpleasant places to bring aid to others. And now, dear God, through the hearing of your word and your message this morning, help us find in those words and in that message the wisdom we need to live faithfully and the courage we need to follow you wherever you lead us, so that we can truly say, it is well with my soul. For we know that we can do everything through Christ who gives us strength and taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We remember the needs of the community we serve. We remember the needs of the outreach ministries that we offer and the programs that we sponsor. We remember the privilege and obligation we have to provide ministry and learning for the little ones who came down just a few minutes ago. Gracious God, thank you for the privilege of being in ministry, for the privilege of being able to share, for the privilege of telling the good news. May our offering and our service be pleasing in your sight. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
remain standing for our hymn of meditation, hymn 163. Ask ye what great things I know.
It is my privilege to share with you from the Word of God as we go to the New Testament and find the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, reading verses 4 through 7 and then 11 through 13. May the people of God cherish this reading and hearing of God's holy word and take it to the comfort of their hearts. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Not that I complain of want, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. The Word of God for the people of God. We're going to be thinking today about how to be more effective in our prayer life. And I suppose for many of us, when we think of the word habit, our minds can go in either direction, that of being a positive habit or that of being not so great a habit, like slurping your coffee, or perhaps not putting your dishes away after you've eaten, or deciding that it's important to leave a map of your activity throughout the house by leaving things wherever you have been last. But of course, there are good habits, being prompt, having good grooming, regular exercise, good work ethic. We might even call good habits disciplines. And as with any discipline, you would hope that it would become like second nature to you. And certainly when we think about having an effective prayer life, we would want that to be more of a true nature of who we are, a discipline. I know I've told you on a couple of occasions that my grandfather was a Methodist preacher, district superintendent, and that indeed he served here at Asbury from 28 to 1930. So that would make my mother a preacher's kid, preacher's daughter to be exact, and as such, she was very active in the church, even on into her adulthood, singing in the choir, teaching Sunday school, that kind of thing. And because she was active in the choir, she went to choir rehearsals, and as I think is Stephen's habit as well, or discipline, would call on a choir member to either open the choir rehearsal or close the choir rehearsal with a prayer. Well, one such evening, the choir director indeed called upon my mother, thinking it would be safe to call on a preacher's kid to give the closing prayer before everybody departed and went home. But my mom was the kind of person you really didn't want to catch by surprise, huh, hon? It would usually follow with a whoop, you know, kind of a yell. I think that was later in life. But anyway, on this particular evening, she was called upon to give the closing prayer. And full-blown panic, she said, "Let us pray. Oh, God, help us to sing better on Sunday than we did tonight. Amen." Mother wouldn't mind if any of you all wanted to use that some evening. Not that you ever have a bad rehearsal. We know in the lifetime of our Lord Jesus that prayer was his nature. We know that he was raised in the Jewish faith. We know that the Jewish faith began teaching at a very early age what we call the Shema, which is taken from Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, and it states this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the houses and on your gates." Jesus was not only raised in the Jewish faith, but these things were impressed upon him. They did talk and pray in the Lord's commandments. Mary and Joseph were especially chosen by God, that they were not only obedient, but they would teach Jesus God's word and God's commands, and to know God. So much so that when he was 12, he stole away from the caravan as they were coming back from the Passover, going back home, and they found him missing. But he said, "Did you not know I would be in my father's house?" As he was just soaking up at that very impressionable age all that he could to know more about his God, to know more about his word. And then the Bible fast forward some 18 years, and at age 30, we get a glimpse of Jesus again in the synagogue, but this time not listening and not absorbing, but teaching, and teaching all the elders who've been trained all their lives about this word, and just leaving them in stunned amazement at his interpretation and knowledge of Scripture. We know, of course, his ministry grew. And with the many daily demands upon him, that he would often withdraw to pray, to refuel himself, to begin to do the work of God. And he could be found praying, as we know, the scripture affirms this, on the mountains, by the seashore, in the wilderness. He would do that to be alone, to find that space and time that he could be with God, communicate to God, fill up with God's Spirit, so that he might be more effective in his ministry. So for Jesus, prayer was not only habit, not only second nature, but for him, vital in his relationship with God, as it should be for you and me. And if it's so vital, how much attention are we giving to it? How much focus have you given this week to developing your prayer life? I think that we can learn from Jesus three things this morning. First is, he had an effective prayer life because he practiced it often, and it was indeed a part of his heritage. And secondly, he was driven by a desire to pray. I think for prayer to be authentic, we have to really want to pray. I think we need to really feel the urgency to pray. And thirdly, he believed in prayer's results. He trusted God would deliver. Jesus' heritage of faith confirmed for him the prayers of his ancestors. Think about it. He knew through his Jewish heritage, time and time again, Abraham would go to him in prayer. And Abraham was honored by those prayers and made in covenant with God, the covenant of land, seed, and blessing. And when he thought he was going to have to give up his son, God provided the lamb for the sacrifice. Jesus would be the author of the new covenant. The new covenant giving you and me eternal life for our belief and for our repentance and our knowledge that we are forgiven of our sin through Jesus Christ. And Jesus would be the provision himself of the sacrificial lamb. This Jesus who knew from his heritage that Daniel had been delivered from the lion's den. This Jesus that knew from his heritage that David, not very large in stature, would be able to mightily defeat the Philistines. That this Jesus who would live and die and be raised again would be delivered from the grave and be king of the world and beyond. This Jesus, whose ancestors were not only legacy witnesses to the results of prayer, the power of prayer, this Jesus found that same power in God's words, in the Psalms. How often do we read over and over in the Bible about Jesus going to the Psalms or the prophets and quoting them, sharing God's truth through them? Often we do. And so much so that when he needed his greatest strength, his greatest power, his greatest feeling of being in God's love was on the cross. And he quoted Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So how about you? Is your prayer life also effective because of your heritage? I brought with me a couple of things today. Part of my heritage was saying grace before every meal. We still do that today. But this was just a little cutting board that my grandmother had there on her countertop. And it's entitled My Kitchen Prayer. And we said it every time before we had breakfast. As we partake of earthly food, the table thou hast spread, we'll not forget to thank thee, Lord, for all our daily bread. And that would be followed by that brief but very meaningful upper room reading. And then, not to be neglected, she had this. It's a loaf of bread. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Those who feed on me will never grow hungry. And we would take one of these. Oh my, do I need my glasses on this one? I picked it up. Psalm 27, he shall set me upon a rock. Zechariah, I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And then we would put it at the back. And the next time we gathered together, we would start at the beginning. Those little things I kept. When we divided up her household, those little things I wanted, because those things, I believe, led me to this pulpit. Our heritage is so very important. We pray before every meal. If you go out to lunch with us after church, we'll pray no matter where we are. When I gather with some of my girlfriends and we go to dinner some evening, we'll pray. So much so that one that hadn't joined us in a while, I said, well, let's say our prayer. And she said, are you kidding me? That's not quite the word she used. And I said, yes. Yes. She bowed her head and we prayed. I think that's important. And I shared, you know, not trying to sound pious or righteous, but we give thanks for what we're about to eat because there are going to be those that go to bed hungry tonight. Do you, like Jesus, find comfort and knowing, quoting his word? Is there a scripture that has more meaning for you than perhaps another? Sure, as we look at the Psalms, 121, I lift mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Of course, you know the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And for me, I have always loved the 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. And I think about the following verses. When I look at the work of thy hands, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast established, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man, that thou dost care for him, and yet you crown him a little less than the angels? Effectively, when I say that psalm, I'm praising God through the psalm, and it is my prayer. I'm being reminded of how I need to be humble, because who are we that God takes care of us? And then I'm reminded as I pray that psalm that God loves me more than I will ever understand or know. Oh, I guess I could do a commercial here. I'm teaching the book of Psalms on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock in the Robert Moore Room for any that care to go there. Secondly, as mentioned earlier, Jesus was driven by the desire to pray, to keep going day after day. Think about it. Think about what he faced day after day, the ridicule, the mockery, the tension, the heartache, the frustration, the ongoing demanding need. Through it all, to keep his sanity, his energy, his focus, Jesus had to pray. So it was important for him to find a place to stay away from all the distractions of the world so that he could come into the presence of God. I believe that's what prayer is as a definition, coming into the presence of God. When you're praying, are you not inviting God into a conversation? Are you not setting everything and everyone else aside and saying, come here, God, come close, come near, I need to talk to you? It's a great connection. A great connection that Jesus needed. In the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, it just simply says, everyone was looking for Jesus. And then as you read on down into the 6th chapter of Mark, we find Jesus' way of powering up through prayer, needing that connection with God. It states in the 31st verse, he came to a deserted place by himself and prayed and rested. I think the irony of quiet prayer is that sometimes we think of it as isolation, but really to me it's a way to fortify ourselves to connect with one another in a greater way. So how are you driven by prayer? Do you find your prayer life is a needs-based only prayer time? Just when you need God or need something from God? Do you find that your prayer time is just kind of a habit, a routine? You pray right before you go to bed, or you pray right when you get up, or you pray right before mealtime? Do you have a special time when you allow absolutely no distractions because you have determined that this is a special time for you to spend with God? These are all challenges, I think, that we have to spend a little bit of time if we're going to be more intentional in our prayer life. And finally, Jesus' example of effective prayer was through belief in their results. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We just read that in the 4th chapter of Philippians. I believe in prayer because God delivers. I want to share just a few citations of God's word here where Jesus believed in the effectiveness of prayer and the results that prayer would bring. Certainly, Matthew 6, he taught us the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. This prayer teaches us all the important elements when we come to God that we need to make sure we have. Praise God. Glorify God. Ask God for your daily needs. Confess your sins and commit to being forgiven. In Matthew 26, Jesus taught us to be effective in our prayers by not giving in to fear, but to trust God's will. Yes, even if your life is at stake. Nevertheless, my will, O God, but yours. In Matthew 26:53, Jesus taught us how to be effective in prayer by praying for God's power. I love this. Listen to this. Matthew 26:53. Or do you think I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus believed that God would do that for him, but Jesus also knew there was a greater will beyond his. In Luke 6:12, Jesus taught us to be more effective in prayer life by giving time to pray. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. In Luke 11:1-13, Jesus taught us by actually believing that God will answer prayers. Ask and it will be given you to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks shall find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, will give it a serpent instead? Which of you, if he asks you for an egg, will give it a scorpion? If you then, though you are sinners, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give through the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And finally, in John 17:1-26, Jesus taught us to effectively pray for those that need our prayers. We call that intercessory prayer, praying on behalf of someone else. And we know that in Romans it talks about the Holy Spirit interceding for us with sighs too great for words, because we don't have the right words to say. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This morning, let's get honest with ourselves. Let's get honest. How would we rate our prayer life? Needs a little work? Or do we find ourselves in pretty good shape prayer-wise? Do we find ourselves doing some whisper prayers where we just pray when we drive, pray when we're wherever we are? Do we find ourselves feeling somewhat inadequate in prayer? I know I've been threatened if I ask someone after Bible study to give the closing prayer. Oh my goodness. I'll quit coming to your class, preacher, if you call on me to pray. And I think there's that sense in all of us when we pray out loud that we have to be eloquent. We have to be lengthy. I don't see that anywhere in God's word. I don't see that anywhere in terms of the requirements. But what I do see is that it has to be heartfelt. Come to Jesus, pray to the Father. Be still, the word God says. Be still and know that I am God. God hears you and just loves it when you want to pay him a visit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment this morning is Spirit Song, page 347. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church, we invite you to do so at this time. We receive transfers of memberships, professions of faith, renewals of faith, restoration. Or if you'd like to simply come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing 347. Be in worship with you today, and we're going to have a very special celebration in just a few moments. If you'll go out at the end of here and hang a left and see the double glass doors, we'll be meeting with you in just a few moments for a wonderful moment in the history of Asbury United Methodist Church as we dedicate the columbarium, the Reverend Thomas E. Weir Meditation Garden and Columbarium, to be exact. So I know it's going to be a wonderful time of celebration. Please receive the benediction. And now, O God, as we go forward, we thank you for the gift of prayer, where we know you are with us. May we go now in a spirit of prayer, which includes praise and thanksgiving for our time together in worship, and our service that we have ahead of us to go out into the world and serve in the name of Jesus. Bless us all, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.